School is in session with Basketball U. Welcome to your study time for the world of college hoops. Now, here are your professors, Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley on ESPN 1000.
Welcome into Basketball U here on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Tyler Rocky, Shane Norling. We're talking college basketball with you every single week here as we are a couple days removed now from the Champions Classic. I think you needed a little bit of a cool-off period, my friend. After Michigan State loses to Duke, we also got a thriller between Kentucky and Kansas as well. And let's start with your Michigan State Spartans, because your Spartan team now, with a couple of losses so far in the early going of this 2023-24 season. Shane Norling, your thoughts.
Fourth-ranked Spartans to start the year preseason. Lose to JMU. Bad loss. I went off about it on Chicago's College Tailgate podcast edition. If you want to hear it, you can hear it there. I'm not going to do it again. Then you get the win over whatever the fuck, South Central Louisiana State Tech. I don't know. I don't even remember who it was. Was it Central Indiana? Something like that? I don't fuck it. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You get the win, looked bad doing it. Then you play Duke. And in the first half, I thought the defense looked really good. But Tyler, explain to me why a team that shot 40% plus from the three-point line a year ago and their worst three-point shooting performances last year were like 32%. How the fuck are they, what, 5 of 44 from three?
I know you lost Joey Hauser. But it's not all losing Joey Hauser.
You get good looks, and you just can't hit them. This team, can they not shoot?
How many good looks? Not just that, but how many good looks did they just start to turn down as well? Like, how many times were we like, shoot the ball?
Malik Hall has had this problem for seasons now, like, plural. Like, at some point, I remember telling you in the tournament, the shot felt like it had been coached out of him. Stop taking it because you can't make it. And now he doesn't take it at all. He was wide open twice when the game was still in reach and just refused to shoot a three. At that situation, I don't even care if you miss it, but you have to shoot it when you're wide open. Like when you're in the corner, Malik Hall, and you get the ball and the closest guy to you is in the key, just fucking pull up, man. What are you driving baseline for? Makes no sense. The team's not good, and it makes me feel bad because I have to question Tom Izzo again.
Here's the funny thing, too, is Malik Hall actually played pretty well in this game when you just look at the box score, but when you look at everything else that he turned down in this game, all those shots in the corner on the wing, they're wide open threes, he has 18 points. He shoots 7 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from behind the arc. Like,
just shoot.
Shoot the ball.
Just
shoot the ball. You know who was shooting the ball? Tyson Walker. He got locked in at the end, and that was a pretty special performance that unfortunately got wasted. But in that second half, final, what, probably like 8 to 10 minutes or so, when he just locked in.
Yeah.
And we saw a couple of those performances at the United Center that night. But when he locked in, that was something.
When he hit that step back three to make it 53-51 Duke, I think there was like 8 minutes left in the game. It felt like Michigan State was being willed back into things by Tyson Walker. That's why he's going to be so valuable in the tournament for Michigan State when and if they get there, if at this point. Because fuck me.
Get out of here.
No, they'll make the tournament. But that's where he will become very valuable. And like, I'm not done with this season yet, but it's a brutal start.
Yeah.
For a team that returns, I mean, all their starters are upperclassmen. They all have experience, whether it's A.J. Hogard, who stinks, or Matty Sissoko, who stinks. They all have experience.
Real quick, A.J. Hogard, little side note, your mortal enemy. You ran into his family.
I hate him. I was walking by at halftime. I had to go to the bathroom. And so I'm on the concourse of the United Center, and I see this group of people in a circle, and all of them are wearing Team Hogard shirts. And I'm like, well, you just know that's the fam. And it was an incredible show of restraint by me to not, like, interject whatever they were doing with, your son fucking sucks. Get him off the floor. He's terrible. Tyler, he's terrible. Every time I watch him play in the tournament last year, now, he's just...
He was pretty good in the tournament. He was pretty good in the Big Ten and the NCAA tournament.
He's always up and down, though. Like when he, and it sucks because it feels like he's a bit of the engine. When he plays well, the team wins.
If he played well in this game, like 1 of 8 from the field in this game, if he plays well in this game, Michigan State wins.
Yeah, it's just lately he doesn't play well at all, ever. And I'm sick of it. You're 23 years old. You're a graduate student. You're a super senior. Stop being shit. Like, go play good. It's dumb to have to say that. But then, like, after the James Madison loss, we get Izzo. I don't understand why the upperclassmen played that way, but I don't care. I'll play the freshman. Then play the fucking freshman, man. Why is it so hard for Cohen Carr and Jeremy Fears to get minutes?
You know what's funny? Cohen Carr had a couple sequences in this game where he was D'ing up on Kyle Filipowski,
yeah,
who is an All-American to be this year. And he held his own. Like, he had a couple blocks on Filipowski. I was pretty impressed. He had the one breakaway dunk on the fast break, and he also had a lob, too, from Tyson Walker. Like, I was thoroughly impressed by what I saw out of Cohen Carr in the in-person experience with him.
He also had a terrible sequence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where he
turnover.
Drove baseline, turnover, got the ball back, turned it over again. Like, it was a bad, rough stretch for him. Which is fine, because he's a freshman. And when a freshman makes mistakes like that, I can survive. When you have a 23-year-old super senior making mistakes like that, get him out of the fucking game. And put somebody else on the floor. Get Jeremy Fears in the game. Get Hogard out of there and play Fears. It's just like, it's enough. If you're going to say you'll play the freshman, then do it. Doesn't make sense to keep playing these upperclassmen who can't play. I don't get it.
On the other side of this game, Duke, I liked what I saw. A lot of travels in this game. I think that's the most travels I've ever seen called in the basketball game above, like, a sixth grade level. Like, how many times did we... And in fairness, I feel like a lot were Michigan State forcing them. Like, defensively, they just kind of baited them into some of these travels. You thought you were going to have a pass, an entry pass here. You picked up your dribble, and then the pass isn't there, and you shuffle your feet.
Right.
I think a lot of it was Michigan State-induced defensively, but the turnovers were certainly a problem for Duke in this game. But you got the life raft of Caleb Foster hitting every single three in a game where three-pointers were hard to come by. He leads all players with 4 3-pointers made in this game. And pretty much whenever he got an open look, he was hitting it. And he contributes 18 off the bench. You're going to win a lot of games when you've got a guy who can get you 18 off the bench.
Caleb Foster's a good player, man.
Yeah.
I really like him. I liked a lot of what I saw from Duke outside of the walks. But you notice in the first half, they were walking all over the place. Second half, I don't think I saw travel get called the entire second frame. So, like, at least there was an adjustment made in how they were going to approach the way Michigan State was playing them defensively. I think John Shire's done a way better job than I could have anticipated him doing when he took over for Kay. They look really good. I know the Arizona loss stands out, but Arizona's awesome team, too.
Damn good team.
Right.
I've really liked Arizona.
The Duke side of things, look, man, the engine just keeps going. They are who they are, and they're really good. And the end of that game, you saw why when you have Foster come in and hit those threes and ice it, and it just kind of felt like dagger after dagger. They got a nice whistle, favorable whistle. I think
there were
six straight trips that ended in a foul on Michigan State.
Pat Boyle was texting me, too, during that game. He was also in attendance. It was kind of a who's who at the United Center.
Yeah, there
saw a lot of people
Courtney
there.
Cronin was there.
Courtney was there.
John Wall was there. Mm-hmm. Zach Levine, Rich Paul.
Magic Johnson Jinx. Was there.
Yeah, Magic. We kept
Luol
wondering.
Dang.
We kept wondering if they would show Kirk Heinrich for Kansas, and they showed golfer Gary Woodson. It was very odd.
And Danny Zetterman was irate. That's the best we can do, Gary Woodland?
The text he sent me was, we're the best hoop school on the planet, and they show a fucking golfer.
That was pretty. A golfer who, by the way, isn't even from here.
We saw Rex Chapman
on the concourse.
Andy Staples, I think, was there.
Yeah, Pat Foley was there.
Yeah.
He was talking with PB. PB texted me.
Rolled out the red carpet.
I know, yeah. PB was texting me, like, he was frustrated with the lack of whistles, and I think he was right. He's like, I'm not that guy, but, boy, the whistles really going Duke's way, and that's something that you and I also noticed, too, in that game as well. The whistle was going Duke's way the entirety of that game. Second half, the whistle was going Duke's way in a pretty spectacular fashion. And it ultimately cost Michigan State, just because I think it kind of axed some of their runs that they were on. Felt like they were a shot away from really seizing momentum in that game. And that's ultimately what hurt it.
It just felt like they never got a chance to play defense in the second half. And they did a lot of really good work, Tyson Walker especially, to get it within two. The step back three, 53-51. And that place got loud. Like, the Spartan crowd got loud for them. Mm-hmm. And you're going, okay, maybe we can actually do this and win this game and erase the bad that comes off the James Madison loss. And instead, I think it was literally the six trips down the floor immediately after that step back three by Tyson Walker ended in a foul on Michigan State.
Yeah.
For Duke. Like, the next six Duke possessions all ended in a foul on Michigan State. And I'm never going to complain about officiating as a reason why you lost a game. It's not. Turn the ball over too much. Mm-hmm. Don't hit your threes.
Don't take your threes.
Don't take your threes. Like, those are reasons you lost. But it's hard when whistles are snuffing the momentum out of what you're trying to do, and you don't get to finish your defensive possessions.
Yep.
It was just tough. And there were times, honestly, where Michigan State on the other end had a guy go up. I think it was Cohen Carr, went up, clearly got fouled, no call. So it was just, that happens. You're going to get bad officiating luck, and you got to fight through it.
Yeah.
Honestly, right now, this doesn't seem like a team that can fight through a lot. They're going to be unranked on Tuesday.
Yeah, they will. And I'm not overall worried about Michigan State. If anything, can I spin this for you? This is a good thing. Good loss.
Well,
because how many times do we see the Champions Classic teams that win or thrive or look really good? When it gets to February and March, they're just kind of And the teams that actually go out and lose these games look really good down the stretch of the season.
Well, the ultimate homer spin for me is, if you know Tom Izzo, he doesn't want to be ranked preseason top five. He would much rather be unranked or like 18 or something in that range than number four to number one.
So you're saying he tanked November?
He doesn't want that.
He tanked November.
No, I'm not saying that he's tanked. Like, obviously, if you could go wire to wire one, you want to be wire to wire one. But in college basketball, that almost never happens.
Yeah.
And for Izzo, I think he likes to be able to tell those guys, you aren't shit. You haven't done anything. And you got to prove it on the floor. Like, it's hard to do that when you're the fourth-ranked team. Now that you've gone from four to unranked, you can really lean on these guys and go, you guys kind of suck ass. Let's figure it out.
Let's move to the other game here. Kansas with a furious comeback to take down Kentucky, 89-84. This was the best game of the night. Kentucky was dominant early, had double-digit leads. I mean, it looked like they were going to pull away in this one. And I think Rob Dillingham really showed why he's the number one recruit in the country, when the way that he was splashing some of these threes, he battled a little bit of foul trouble and did ultimately foul out in this game. But the comeback from Kansas, I do want to say this. This is more of an overarching thing for the entirety of the event. If you had to divvy up 100% of the attendance, how would you go in terms of fan-based representation?
For
because surprisingly,
four?
I think Kentucky was number one. And I would have guessed Kentucky would have been last.
Yeah. For all four teams, I would say, I don't know, one Kentucky, probably like 40%. Is that fair? Maybe not that high.
30%. Maybe like 30%, yeah.
So 30% for Kentucky. You could probably split the next 50%, 25-25, between Michigan State and Kansas, and I think Duke was a clear last.
Yes, I agree. I mean, it was, I was really shocked. It's good to see. I think it's a good thing for college basketball that a kind of downish Kentucky team is getting all that love and showing up on a neutral site. The other thing I loved in this Kansas and Kentucky game, Hunter Dickinson on a neutral floor.
Unbelievable.
Every touch boo. I mean, it felt like it was LeBron's first game back against the Cavs while he's wearing a Heat uniform. It felt like Chris Beard going back to Texas Tech after he spurns them to go to his alma mater. It was insane. Every touch.
I don't know why he's so hated. It was unbelievable. Like, at first,
I get he tries to be the villain, and he's been a controversial guy. He wore the ski mask into the game. Whatever.
Who cares?
But, like, I was just surprised. Neutral floor. I get, like, if he went back to Michigan, if Kansas and Michigan were playing, and probably Michigan State fans being in the building
helps,
contributed a little bit to this. But in every touch down the floor, this wasn't happening at the Big Ten tournament.
No.
When it was at the United Center, he wasn't getting booed every single touch when he was playing for Michigan. I don't think I've ever seen a player get booed every single touch on a neutral floor.
They announced his name in the starting lineup entry, and it, like, both of us were like, holy shit, why are they booing the hell out of him? Then he gets onto the free throw line, and they're waiting for the ref to get the ball to him, and the second he gets the ball, and he has a quick release at the line, mm-hmm. so you don't get a lot of time, but you would still hear everyone in the arena basically start booing the instant he gets the ball.
Entry pass, paint touch, it was, boo. I couldn't believe it, but good for him because it must have fueled him. 27 and 21 in this game, also had three steals.
Yeah, and he was a huge part of their comeback in the second half.
Yep, he hit a big three.
He was fantastic in this game.
Yes.
And Kansas, that first half, you go, okay, well, it's not an end-all, be-all loss, but maybe it's good that you aren't going to be the number one team forever. And then the second half happens, and it's like, oh, they're the best team in the country. Like, clearly.
I looked at this game, and the guy who really, like, Hunter Dickinson was fantastic in this game, but the guy who really won it for me was DeJuan Harris. You're talking about a point guard who's coming from a national champ. He won a national championship with Kansas as a starting point guard, and he goes out in this game, has 23-7. He looked calm. I mean, he did the exact same thing as Tyson Walker did in the final 10 or so minutes for Kansas, and he just got the better result out of it too.
And to go 5 of 6 from 3-point land, like that's how you save a team, and that's how you just seal a game, is being able to convert on those attempts. He was awesome. I thought KJ Adams was really good in this game.
I love KJ. I think he's kind of like the unsung hero of this team.
Yeah, it does feel that way. And dude, they're well coached again, obviously Bill Self, and just all of the talent that they have on this roster, and Hunter Dickinson being added into the mix. Mm-hmm. Willing to play that villain role and okay with getting booed all the time. It's just, who's going to beat them?
They look good. They look damn good. And I don't think it's the greatest Big 12 this year either, so should be hanging another banner at the Fog. And then quietly, I didn't even realize this until I got home, but Kevin McCullough Jr. with the Rondo triple-double, 12-10-10.
Yeah.
I mean that's kind of how you have to get it in college, but good for him. That was a welcome sight there. I will say I was impressed by Kentucky, though. I think they performed a lot better than I thought they would.
And it's a tough spot for Cal, who I think is wearing thin on the fan base a little bit. We heard some of that in the United Center for sure.
Well, what's the only way you can get rid of a guy with a lifetime deal? I mean, you had the battle of the lifetime deals. You had Kansas and Kentucky.
Yeah.
You got to kill him. That's the only way you get rid of him. You got to kill him. That's the only way those guys are leaving.
You can't say that.
It's the only way.
You've got a kid. You can't say that. What do you think the AD is going to come down to the practice floor with a gun? Sorry, Cal. We can't get you out of this contract, so have to do it this way. Send him to New York for the mob.
Some of the other ancillary stories from this game, too. Let's start with Beer Man in our section.
Oh, my God. What a
legend.
What a hero.
What a legend. Wasn't he neutral site guy, too? He wasn't rooting for anyone. He was a Miami, Ohio fan.
Yeah. He said he was just there for the good vibes and the time. Mm-hmm. And so, when was it? Was it the first half of the Kansas-Kentucky game? I think so.
Yes. Yes, it was.
This guy's losing his fucking mind. He's not rooting for anybody, but he's screaming up a storm. He's like, I've chosen to, was he Kansas or Kentucky? He chose to root for Kansas. And so he's cussing up a storm, going nuts, acting like he's all invested in the game. And then all of us, I'm kind of getting irritated by him, but he's funny, so it is what it is. And then he just like taps me on the shoulder. He goes, hey, man, you want a beer? And I'm like, huh? He goes, you want a beer? I'm buying. You want a Bud Light or something? I'm like, well, if you're buying, sure. And then he looks at you. What about you? And then he turns around and he looks at the whole section. He goes, anybody want a fucking beer? Anybody want a free beer?
Free beers.
It was incredible. He's going to the vendor. How many you got in there? I'm going to empty you out. I want to give you a light load back. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
This guy's a legend.
So, Tyler, I bought you and I canned Modelos, right? Mm-hmm. The like tall boy
ones.
Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I bought them for the two of us because they didn't have a Bud Light for me. So I went with the Modelo guys walking around. Bought myself one, bought you one. And I got handed the card thing, and it says $47.28. And it's because it automatically was tipping at like a crazy rate. So I had to customize it, obviously, and tip a little less. But still, I ended up paying $42 for two beers.
Yeah. Well,
this guy bought at least 15.
Yeah. And like I remember, like I went to go get food, and I asked you. I was like, "Hey, you want a beer?" And you're like, "Yeah, sure." And then I go, and I'm thinking a beer is going to be like $13, whatever. You kind of know your fate going into a stadium, right? And then I'm going. I didn't even think about it. I was like, all right, give me a chicken tenders and two beers. And then I'm waiting for it. And I'm just, while I'm waiting for the lady to prepare my food, I look up and I see the price board. And I see $17.50 a beer. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was the first thing I noticed when I walked in.
It blindsided me. But like the fact that this guy bought us beers, I was like, oh, wow, like very generous. He's about to be woken up when he sees the price. I will say this. If he had seen the card reader and said, holy shit, you guys got to chip in, I would have understood.
No.
I would have understood.
Nope. And well, I would not have chipped in. If you had chipped in?
I would have. I think if he probably went in thinking it's like $13 a beer. All right, whatever. He'd probably already,
spent a minimum of $310. Minimum.
Yeah. I would say it was probably closer to $400.
But no, you can't chip in. I'm not chipping in. And fuck you. Don't say you get a free beer, and then because you made the decision to go, everybody in the section gets one, now I have to pay for mine? Fuck you.
I don't think he would have asked for a full price, but if he asked for like $5 or like contribute to a tip, I would have.
I would have taken the cash in my pocket and handed it to him.
All $0 that you had?
I probably had like
Carry cash?
I had $3 in singles.
Oh, you're a cash.
I was going on the Skyway the other day. I had to get the tolls. It's always easier if you break the emergency 20.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But you can't, if you're going to offer to buy people beer, you got to accept what that's going to be.
I guess he also, I mean, he had been served a few already, you could tell.
He was hammered.
And he had to have known what the price was, and he was feeling good. He must have hit on like some huge bet in the first game.
I got no idea.
I don't know what it was, but good for that guy.
Or he's just like fucking rich. Maybe bought shares in
Tesla.
Yeah,
he's a Tesla holder. He's a longtime Tesla guy.
He's had it for years. He just hit on Bitcoin. I think that's back now.
Yeah. What else was from this game? There was something else that. Oh, the cup holders.
Why doesn't the United Center have cup holders?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've never noticed that at the United Center. I could have sworn they had cup holders.
I've been there 3-4 times now. And
it is my favorite venue in the city.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love the United Center. It's clean. You would never be able to tell. I think it's like 40 years old now.
Yeah.
You'd never be able to tell.
You could eat off the floors. It's clean at all times. It just looks state of the art. Mm-hmm. It's very modernized.
Yeah.
The quality of life of the section things having your seat numbers underneath it is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know why every place doesn't do that.
Yeah. It's smart. It saves a lot of time. It's one of the other things too. It's like, I never understand the usher showing you to your seat. Dude, figure it out.
Yeah.
It is quite simply the easiest thing in the world to find your seat.
Is this a shot at me? Because I did it.
You needed the usher to help you?
I didn't need him. I just showed him the ticket, and he's like, okay, you're right here.
Oh, well, yeah, they point. Okay, whatever. But when you ask, like, oh, where's my seat, and you see them literally walk you to your seat, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That should not be allowed.
That's ridiculous.
If you can't figure that out, you shouldn't be allowed to go to the event.
Yes, I'm right there with you. What else? I feel like there's something else that we wanted to discuss from this game that was just kind of blew our minds.
Did you have fun with Pottinger after I left?
Oh my God, he was a riot. He had the greatest time sitting down there with us. Because he came down, you gave him your ticket.
Yeah.
And he came and sat with us for the second half of the game. Because you left early, you had an early morning the next day. The vibes were all time with Pottinger there. All time vibes. I mean, the mayor was in full form. Just he willed a Kansas victory there, and
he's the reason they came back.
Yes, I think if we look back on that game and be like, you know, that's the reason why Kansas won a national championship this year. Pottinger deserves a ring.
Fair. Listen, I'll co-sign. Pottinger, the texts that we were getting were unbelievable, and he's trying to start KU chants from the 300 level.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, you know what? I'm leaving at halftime. I got to get up for the morning show. I'll send this guy my ticket.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you had a good time with him.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any of this yet.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
He's a goof.
He was great. And he'll be with us tomorrow for Chicago's College Tailgate, too. So can't wait for that. The other thing, too, you probably didn't have to deal with it. You Ubered home or did your wife pick you up?
No, I Ubered.
You Ubered home.
Yeah.
So you didn't have probably as big of a problem as I did trying to get an Uber. It's impossible to get an Uber out of the United Center after a game. In those tents.
Yeah.
I found the hack. Here's what the hack is. I took the shuttle to Rinaldi's.
Smart.
Free shuttle to Rinaldi's. It's beautiful, nice party bus. Great. took the shuttle to Rinaldi's, had a beer at Rinaldi's, Ubered home, and it saved me half the money. It was half off, pretty much, of what an Uber would have been from the United Center. And you got another beer, and then you got a free shuttle there. It was so much better.
That's really
so
smart.
Much less congestion. Also, Rinaldi's is great too. Yeah.
Well, I got
that's my hack.
I got a Lyft, and if you don't get Uber, you can't go to the tents. So yeah. To get a Lyft, you have to walk further from the United Center.
Well, that's the way to do it, too. Like, the best way to get picked up from any venue is just start walking away from the venue.
Once you go into the Uber pickup zone, you are screwed.
You are the biggest loser at that point.
Yeah, you have already given up any control you have over the situation. It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Basketball U. We'll check in with you every single week with some college basketball stuff right here on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate the show, all that fun stuff, and we'll talk to you next week.